Okay, who knows what we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks? We talked about wise choices in a foolish world. We are still talking about that. We will be for the whole year, but not specifically anymore. That's kind of the big umbrella theme that we are going to be kind of taking on for the whole year. Specifically today, we're moving into a really neat story, the story of Esther and the book of Esther. And if you don't know where Esther is, we're not going to read from it in this at Ignite, but in the Fusion groups, you will be. It's on page 298 if you don't know where Esther is. All right, so who knows anything about Esther?
She's Jewish.
She's Jewish. She's a girl. Got it already. Too slow, Garrett. Okay, Justin, we're going to have a talk. Yeah, we got that one.
She was beautiful.
Yeah, she was. One of the most beautiful women ever. Huh? She was wise. She was a queen. Nice. Anybody else? Hey guys, if you're talking, you should be talking to me, not to each other. Anybody else? What else do you know about Esther? Anybody? What? Yeah, we got that one already. She's awesome. No, it wasn't her uncle, but it was a relative. Yes, that's true. Okay, let's move on. Okay. Esther was an orphan. Okay, Esther's parents died when she was young. Hey guys, during the Ignite talk, you guys need to pay attention up here. We'll be done in a few minutes. We're going to hit a video, have a little kind of wrap-up talk at the end, and then we're going to go to small groups. So if you can just pay attention during that time, appreciate that. If you got cell phones, Darcy already asked you to put them away. I would ask you also to put them away. It's a short time and it won't kill you. I promise. Because you've only been texting for like 3 years, most of you, at the max. So. Okay. Here we go. Esther was adopted by her older cousin, Mordecai. All right. Mordecai took her in when her parents died and taught her about God, taught her how to live life, taught her the important things. Hey guys back there, let's pay attention, all right? Thank you. Another thing that somebody mentioned about Esther is that she was a Jew. Okay? Well, Esther lived in the 5th century BC, so it'd be about around 460 BC. And during that time, the Persian Empire ruled the world, the known world at the time. Okay? And the king was, his name was Xerxes. And just before that, the reason that Esther, as a Jew, was living in Persia was because a few years before, 100 years before, there was a king called Nebuchadnezzar.
Wow.
Huh? Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king. And do you guys know where Babylon is?
Yeah, it's in Greece.
No, it's not Greece. Iraq. Iraq. Iraq is modern day Babylon. Hey guys, listen up. Iran is modern day Persia. Okay? They were the empires of the world at that time. So Babylon came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and took all the bright people out. The Bible said he lined them up and they took anybody who looked like they had any kind of smarts and took them to Babylon and made them Babylonian. So tons of people right in front of me. Come on. All right, where were we? All right, in your pocket, just put it in the back, you could even turn it off. Huh? Imagine that, eh? That's just horrible, eh? Better yet, invite your friends to come here, and then they don't have to text you. Okay, where were we? Sorry, I lost my way there. Brianne, you got me.
Babylon.
Right. King Nebuchadnezzar was an awesome king. He took his forces, he destroyed Egypt, he destroyed Israel, he destroyed all these different places, and he took a bunch of people back with him, all the smart people. And so a whole bunch of Jewish people ended up in Babylon. Well, eventually King Nebuchadnezzar died, and his successor came up, and his name was Belshazzar. Actually, it was his grandson. It was a couple of kings down. And Belshazzar was having this huge banquet. It was approximately, I don't know, 80 years after Nebuchadnezzar. So it's, you know, a couple generations. And he was bragging about how awesome he was and how he was king of the known world. Okay, get this. This is a cool story. Suddenly, in this room, the Bible says, a bloodless hand started writing on the wall. Is that not wacky? So, you know, these guys are totally drunk, right? So they're probably going, what are we drinking here? But actually, it sobered him up because it was, everybody's seeing this. This isn't just me. And it was a bloodless hand, and it said, and it wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." It means, today your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Or it says, you've been weighed and found wanting by God, and your kingdom is about to be divided to the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians had allied together. They're outside the city walls. Babylon was just like, they can't get us. Our walls are like 10 feet wide. In fact, the Bible said you could ride 2 chariots on top of the walls side by side because the walls were so huge in Babylon. And what happened was the king at the time, I believe it was Cyrus the Great, was the Persian king. The Mede king was Darius. What they did is they dug underneath the wall and got into the city. And the people were just like partying. They didn't expect that the Persians would be able to get in. And they did, and they conquered Babylon. And they carried all the Babylonians, the smart people, off to Persia. That's why Esther was in Persia during this time. So her family roots started in Judah, in Jerusalem, where it was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. They went to Babylon, and then Babylon was conquered by Persia, and that's where we are right now. Persia was the main empire of the time. And it was actually a few kings later. This king was Xerxes, and he was a great king. Okay. So the last thing you need to know about this is that the people didn't think very highly of the Jews at this time. Okay? They were foreigners in a different country. A lot of people didn't like them. And this is the setting of the book of Esther. It's important to know that the Jews had lots of enemies. There's a lot of people in that row. It's like 8 chairs and 16 people. That's okay. I know you guys like each other. That's fine. All right. Yes, that's true. Yeah, let's have a round of applause for grade 7s. Only grade 7s can get 16 people in a pew. Yeah. Okay. So this is the setting. We're going to watch the video. It's about 10 minutes. The videos will grow on you. Just to give you a heads up, they're not professional videos, which is what I think makes them really funny. So, Danae, if you want to start the video, this is the first and second chapter of Esther. Excellent. You guys like that?
Yeah.
That's awesome, eh? So before you go to your small groups, I got some questions for you guys to think about. Okay, focus. That was a fun video. We're going to do that. There's 6 parts to that video. So we're going to be watching it. It's pretty funny, eh? It's homemade. It's actually really pretty good. So let's see here. Here's some questions. After going through the book of Esther, these are some questions that I want to give to you at the start when you're just kind of discovering who Esther is and the story. Have you ever wondered about God's plan? You ever wondered what God's up to? What he's doing?
Yes.
Yeah? I've wondered that all the time. How about this? Have you ever wondered where you fit into the whole God's plan thing? Yeah? I have, again. Some of you may not have thought that far. That's all right. Here's another question. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't show us why we go through things in life? You ever wondered why in the midst of hardship, God just doesn't show you what's going to happen in the end so that you're like, oh, okay, it's all going to be good. I can make it through. You ever wonder that? Some of you guys might be going through a rough patch right now, but all of us have been through rough patches, right? You ever wonder, God, why don't you show me what's going to happen so that I'm prepared? You ever thought that? No? Yes? Am I the only one? Okay. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't show you the future? You know, especially like for teenagers and young adults thinking about, okay, what does God want me to do with my life? If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, that question's probably popped into your head. What does God want from me? Where does he want me to go? How do I know what God's will is? You ever thought about that? Yeah? Me too. And the last question I want you guys to think about is, we kind of get this picture of who God is. We've been talking about him for 5 weeks here, and for those of you who've come to Ignite from when you were grade 7 age, sorry. That's insulting, eh? Grade 7. Okay. Except for Dave, he was in grade 7. So. We've learned, the Bible is full of this revelation of who God is. Have you ever wondered why we read this in the Bible, we talk about it at Ignite, if you go to church on Sunday, you often hear it on Sunday, you hear about God being good, you hear about God being powerful, you hear about this amazing God who created the earth, the heavens and the earth, who spoke and the world came into being. I mean, that's just from speaking, the world came into existence. Like, that is some major power. That's some major awesomeness. So have you ever wondered why it's so hard? One of the things about being a Christian is the first step is giving yourself to Jesus, is giving yourself to God and saying, I want to be yours. I want you to control my life, and I want to live the way you want me to live. That's the first step in becoming a Christian. So have you ever wondered why we resist, even those of us who have become Christians, why we resist so hard when God wants, when God is showing us that he wants us to do something? You ever wonder that? I've wondered it in my own life. Why do I resist at every turn, it seems, when God wants to do something in my life? When the option of a wise choice is really clear, why is there something in me that wants to take the foolish choice, even though I know it's foolish? Justin's doing laps. Has everyone ever wondered why Justin does laps during the talk? No. He teleported. Okay. I just want to read a passage of the Bible. It's you can turn to page. It's found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet in the 6th century B.C. And you can turn to page 466. I'm just going to read just a few verses in chapter 29. A lot of you guys have probably heard this before. But this is going to give you a context, because this is talking about what Esther is going through at this point where we've seen the video. So I'll start in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You, meaning Judah, the Israelites, the Jews, will be in Babylon for 70 years. Okay? Esther's story is taking place during this 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. See, another word for the Jews at the time was the people of God. Okay? God's people. So God is making this promise through the prophet Jeremiah to God's people. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, because remember, they're in Babylon, they're in a foreign land, then they were in Persia, and I will restore your fortunes. See, this was written before this all happened. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Now, you may be wondering why I read this verse, other than the fact that it fits really nice with our Esther passage. Well, here's another kind of application. This is a super important verse, because this is one of those verses that, as a follower of Jesus, that you can look into and say, okay, you know what? God cares about his people. He really does. And even though his people at the time went into like a horrible situation, it wasn't like a happy time where people got torn from their families and taken to Babylon. This was the enemy of Israel. Like, they were enemies. They hated them. The Babylonians hated the Jews, and the The Jews hated the Babylonians. They were enemies. And so, I mean, this was a hard time for the people of Israel. And so when they would have had these scriptures from the prophet Jeremiah. And this is one of the promises that God gave to his people, that I have planned for you, that I'm not going to leave you stranded, that in hard times and good times, that I'm there for you. So I think what our encouragement can be from this whole thing is that I want you guys to know that God has a plan for you. God has an awesome plan. And we're going to look through the book of Esther and see what God's plan for Israel was at that time. Kings, princes, governors, armies could not stop God's plan. God was way bigger than any of those things. God set into motion a plan and nothing could stop it. This is how powerful, again, God is. So this is what's happening in the book of Esther. Esther has no idea what she's getting into. No idea. She has no idea why God created her the way she was, beautiful on the outside. The Bible says she was very pleasing to look at. She didn't know why that God gave her the gifts that he did. She had no idea. But what we find in the book of Esther is that this extraordinary woman trusted God with her future. And we're going to find out in the coming weeks that she even put her life on the line a number of times in order to end up saving her people from massive disaster. So I want to encourage you guys right now that, again, God's got a plan for you. He's not going to leave you stranded. But what I want to encourage you guys to do is to, you got a choice. I mean, you can be a part of God's plan and you can join him in that plan, or you can fight against it. The end, fighting against it, is not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for you in this life. It's not going to be good for you in the next life. Okay? Because it's like I said before, have you ever wondered why it's so hard to accept the fact that God can control our lives, that we can give ourselves to him, and then when he asks us to do something, we fight against it? It's tough to do. And yet that's what being a Christian is all about. It's saying, okay, God, I want you to rule my life. Because I got all this turmoil inside. I got all these things inside. I'm living for myself. The more selfish I get, the more depressed I get, the more despair I feel, the more crap I get into. The reason we're doing this whole series on making wise choices is to help you guys. To help you guys find Jesus. Because Jesus, seriously, is the answer to all that stuff in your life. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to give your life to him. And as we look through the book of Esther, I want you guys to keep reminding yourself that, hey, you know what? Jesus is offering us the same thing as God offered to Esther. He's got plans for us. Plans for our good. He doesn't want to harm us. It's not for our disaster. But if we fight against his plans and go our own way, disaster is inevitable. Inevitable means you can't help it. It's going to happen. So if you want to find yourself in God's plan, if you want to figure out this where you fit, the first step is giving up your will to Jesus and saying, okay, God, I know that I often fight against it. I don't want to, it's hard to kind of go your way when I'm used to going this way and what I'm used to getting what I want and instead giving you what you want, that's really tough. But that's where it begins. If you want to find yourself in God's plan, it means submitting yourself to God's plan. It means submitting yourself to what God wants you to do. And that's not a very fun word in our culture, submitting or sacrificing or, you know, our culture is about me, right? What I want. And all you guys are in that. I know I am too. That's, you know, you're going to hear my story in a couple weeks in this whole deal. Submitting has not been one of my strong points. And I know a lot of you guys struggle with that. In fact, all of us struggle with that. So before we go to your small groups and you go through the Esther passage, the small group format's a little bit different for this series. You'll find out in a minute here. I want to remind you, Esther had no idea that the gifts that God had given her and the way he had created her would someday be used to deliver her people. You know, I'm giving away the story. God used this woman. She was in it. She didn't know God was preparing her. He was getting her ready for something else. She had no idea, but she was trusting that God was there for her good. Just like we read in Jeremiah, that God had plans that weren't for her disaster, but for her good. So I want you guys to think about that. God's got plans for you that are good. They're not for your disaster. They're good. And he wants you to be a part of it. He wants to have a relationship with you. He does. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, so that we could have a real relationship with God. It's very cool. We're going to explain that over the next 6 weeks a little bit more. Okay, we're going to pray, and you guys can go to your small groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this awesome lady in the Bible called Esther. We thank you for her story. We thank you for putting it in the Bible. We thank you for all the stuff that we can learn from her. Lord, more than anything, we thank you that you got good plans for us, that we can trust you, that you're a good God. And we just thank you so much for that, that we don't have to worry about giving ourselves to you, because we know without a shadow of a doubt that your plans for us are good and are best for us. You created us. You know us better than we know ourselves. So Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to understand that as we walk through the book of Esther. And Lord, yeah, I just pray you'd reveal yourself to those who are looking and searching for you, just like you promised in the text that we just read. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.